We're on Daf Chav Tesamid Aleph, and we're going to count up from the bottom of the Amud, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8 lines up from the bottom. Omar Mar. So the Braisa told us that the shear for an Eruv in the case of chometz, in the case of vinegar, is kidei letabel bo. In other words, they used to use vinegar as a dip. And let's just see. One second. The shear for chometz is kidei letabel bo sabosar. They used to take meat and dip it into vinegar for the shear of shtei su'udos. Amar Rav Gidol, Amar Rav, kidei letabel bo mazon shtei su'udos shel yerek. In other words, even though the Braisa does not specify exactly what he's dipping into the vinegar, and we'd assumed that he was dipping meat into the vinegar, Rav Gidol Amar Rav says he's dipping yerek into the vinegar. And I think what he's saying is, if I understand correctly, that this meal is made up of vegetables, and he needs enough vinegar, apparently, a smaller, I guess that we're talking, I think, about a smaller amount or volume of vinegar in a case of a meal that consists of vegetables. Ika diamri, we have a second interpretation, a second version of how Rav interprets the Braisa. So, Omar Rav Gidol Amar Rav, when it says that you need a shear of chometz for letabel bo, it means yerek hanechal b'shtei su'udos. Which I think what he means here is that we have not a meal that's consisting of vegetables alone, but a full-fledged su'uda. Now, as before, we spoke about su'udos shel yerek. Now, we're just saying su'udos. Now, the word su'uda, generally speaking, unless it's qualified otherwise, means a su'uda of pas. So, if you have a full meal, you break bread. Now, in the middle of the meal, you want to take a vegetable and dip it into vinegar. It's like we have on Leil HaSeder, right? You dip it into salzvas, right? You take the yerek. So they used to dip their yerokos in the context of a meal into vinegar. Now, the nafkamina here between su'uda shel yerek and su'uda stam, we'll call it, is how much vinegar you would need for this eruv, for mazon shtei su'udos. If you have a full meal, so how much tibul are you going to do already? In other words, you've got bread, you got meat, you got a lot of different things. So you also have a side dish, which is potatoes. So you'll take your potato and you'll dip it into, you'll take your karpas and dip it into vinegar. So that's already a limited amount of vinegar. But if you have a suda that's made up exclusively of yerokos, there's no pas, there's no basar, then you're going to be eating, you're going to be filling your belly with a lot of yerokos. That's all you have at that suda. So that's a suda shel yerokos. Then you're going to have to jack up the volume of vinegar that you need for shtei sudos shel yerek. So Lefi Anias Daiti, it seems that we have here two shitos as to how to interpret the Braisa. The Braisa is telling you what's the shear of an Eruv. And they're in Chometz. And you could answer that question in two different ways. One way of answering it is that you have to talk about a shear that satisfies Shtei Sudo Shel Yerek. And that's a larger volume. The other answer, possibly, is you don't need Shtei Sudo Shel Yerek, you need enough Chometz Kidei L'Tabel Be Su'uda, Shtei Sudos. And that's a more limited amount of Chometz because you're eating less vegetables and therefore you need less Chometz to dip your vegetables into. And I think what we would probably conclude here, la locha, I'm just thinking out loud, is the suffik lakula. We can take the lesser shear, which is kidei l'tabel shtei sudos, without sudo shel yerek. In other words, the shear of an eruv does not have to meet up to the standards of every possible scenario of a suda, namely a Sa'uda that's comprised exclusively of Yerakos. That's not your, you know, classic Sa'uda. Your classic Sa'uda is Pas, Basar, Dogim, Beitzim, whatever you have, solid foods, and then you add the Yerakos as a side dish. As a side dish, you'll eat X amount of Yerakos, a limited amount, to be mashlim your suda, and you need a limited amount of chometz to dip those few yerakos into, because you have a full suda. That's what I would suggest. I'm not here to paskin shilas, but that would seem to me to be the final halacha, like the second lishna, that all you need is enough chometz for Shtei Seudos. Omar Mar, let's go back to the case of onions. And the Braisa says that, first of all, Zesim Ubitzolim, what's the shear of olives and onions for an Erev? Is Kedei Lechel Behem Mazon Shtei Seudos. So how many olives would you put on the table? And how many onions would you put on the table if you had a full-fledged Sa'uda? Now, the obvious premise here is that you can make an Erev with Betzolim. And to my mind, that doesn't come as any Chiddush. I personally don't like onions. My father, Zichron Levracha, loved onions. My Shver, who passed away recently, loved onions. So the Gemara asks, "Ubitzolim mima arvin v'atanyu ever brice on Reb Shimon ben Elozar pamachas shavas Rabbi Meir be'ardiska." Okay, that's where he spent Shabbos. Uba echad lefanov, and somebody shows up. He came chutz l'tchum, and he relied on his eruv, but his eruv consisted of onions. Amar lo, he says to Rabbi Meir. Because Rabbi Meir is very surprised. Hey, what are you doing here on Shabbos? This is more than 2,000 amma from your locale. A ravti, I made an eruv. So, you know, here's a case of Kolomosif Goreah. He should have stopped there. He didn't have to tell Rabbi Meir exactly what he used for an eruv. Bivitzolim. And why did I do so? No, it's not why did I use bitzolim, but what was the purpose of my eruv? Litivin, in other words, from my location to Tivin, where I want to get to, it's more than the Tum Shabbos, more than Alpayim Amo. And on my way, I stopped off here in Ardiska, which is also Chutz L'Tchum. So he has two places that are both more than 2,000 amos away. Let's say, you know, Rav Meir's shtot is 2,001 amas away, and then he's on his way another 100 amas, you know, till he gets to Tivin. And all this was facilitated by an Erev made of Bitzolim. Okay. And I just want to say that he points out here, based on Rashi, that although both of these locations, Tivin and Ardiska, are more than 2,000 amos away from his location, which I'm not sure exactly the name of his city was, but he says the distance Shehi b'toch alpayim amah shbein mokush shenachteim lebein Tivin. In other words, that this location called Ardiska is also within 2,000 amos of the place that he placed, put down his Eruv. So this Eruv would give him 2,000 amah from the Eruv, and that 2,000 amah included both Ardiska and Tivin. So l'shitaso, this person is fine. You know, he's able to be mekabel pnei Rabbi Meir, and he's also able to reach his destination in Tivin. Hoshivu Rabbi Meir bi'arba amo shalo. Rabbi Meir told him that he's not allowed to move for the rest of Shabbos more than four amos, because he is chutz l'tchum. Once you left chutz l'tchum and you don't have a valid eruv, then your konim makom, wherever you are, allowing you up to but not beyond four amos of a radius. My friend, you are stuck. You know, grab a seat on the ground, so to speak. And you see from this story that Rabbi Meir holds that Bitzolim, onions, are not valid for an Eruv. Lokasha. The Gemara says that there's no stira between the story of Rabbi Meir and our Braisa. And the answer is, there's Ba'olim and Habi'imos. Right, there are two parts of an onion. There's that, you know, the leaves, I don't know what you want to call them, that sprout out above the bulb of the onion, and that's not edible, and therefore cannot be used as an eruv. But when the Braisa says that Bitzolim are fine for an eruv, they're talking about the imos, right? The body of the bulb of the of the onion, and that's very healthy. And for some people, very tasty. So that apparently, Rabbi Meir must have interrogated this individual, and he asked him, well, what part of the onion did you use for the Eruv? And he admitted it was the olim that go above the bulb. So Rabbi Meir says, sorry, buddy, that's not a valid Eruv. And now the Gemara tells a story from a Braisa about somebody who dropped dead from eating an onion. The Sanya Ochal Batzal, a man ate an onion. The Hishkimu Mace, he got up from his bed the next morning and he fell back into bed. Nebuch died. Ain Omer, the Braisa says, Miman Mace. Don't ask why did he die. You know, people always ask, what was the cause of death? You don't have to call the coronary, right? Physicians to, you know, just issue the death certificate there, because we know why he died. He died because he ate onions. Amar Shmuel lo shanu ela be'olim aval bimos leslan ba. Shmuel says that the only danger is if you eat the leaves that grow out of the onion, but not if you eat the onion itself. They're tovos l'machol. And not only that, even the olim you're allowed to eat. Ubi olim lo amaran ela. And here we're going to turn to Daf Chav Tesam in base. Delo avtzil zirsa. In other words, it's at a very early stage in its growth. It hasn't even reached the growth of a finger, of a zeres. The zeres is, I think, called in English a pinky, right? It's the smallest of your five fingers. Once it grew beyond that height, then it's not dangerous. So when it's early, then it has a kind of a venom in it. It's like a snake, you know. It has a very dangerous poison in it. Aval if tazirsa leslan ba, right? So once the leaves have grown a full zeres worth, then the eres is completely batel, and you can therefore use it for, you can eat it and use it for an eruv. Now Rav Papa adds another limitation to this danger element. Lo amaran el delo ishti shikra. Well, ishti shikra leslan ba. In other words, he can nullify the dangerous, hazardous impact of the eres of these leaves by drinking beer. And if he drinks beer after he ate these leaves, then he'll be fine. Eno nizak mikach. Now, it seems to me that Rav Papa is not telling me anything about Erevin. What I'm saying is that if he made an Erev out of these olim before they reached the size of a zeres, Rav Papa would agree that the Erev is disqualified. He's making a health comment, and he's saying if you went ahead and you ate this, he wouldn't have recommended it. I don't know what bracha you'd make on it, but he can nullify the hazardous effect of impact by drinking beer. So I'm just going to read to you a note here he has from the Gaon Yaakov, and he says the following. V'chein im ochlim yachad al pas, im pas, eino mazikim. How do I know this? That if he eats these olim together with a piece of bread, it will not be harmful. Kamo sha'omer b'psachim linyin morar, sha'pas mevatelis es ha'eres. That if he eats morar, which has a certain poisonous element to it, with a piece of bread, then the bread neutralizes the impact of this poison. And now we can assume that the same thing applies to the botzel, in the case of the olive, shapas mevatelis es eres ha-botzel. The afal pichen, kol shemenicham levadam ein eruvo eruv, af shetov mem lachil yachinim pas. Oh, so he says, I think, what I said before, but in a slightly different context. He's saying that even though you could neutralize the negative impact of the olim by eating it with bread, nevertheless, it's not going to be a valid eruv. Okay, so he's got more on this topic, but I think that's where we're going to stop here. Tana Rabbana lo yochal onam batzol mipnei nochash shebo, right? It's like a serpent's venom. U'maisav Rabbi Chanina, and again we're assuming we're talking about the olim, not the gufa batzol. Sha'ochal chatzi batzol v'chatzi nochash shebo. That's, he didn't eat enough. You know, he ate half of the olim, and not the full olim, but even the half of the olim apparently has enough of this eres that it could kill you. The chola. And from this he got sick. I mean, he made a real mistake over here by eating these olim. The natal amus. The Gemara says that the prayers were effective and he was spared from death, but only because the generation needed him. If not for that, he would have died, because you know, this was a fatal mistake by eating this batzel. In other words, even the chatzi batzel would be enough to kill you. He writes here, in the name of the Marsha, Rabbi Chanina, who Rabbi Chanina ben Dosa, the Kavanas HaBraisa, Levair, Sha'af Rabbi Chanina, after Rabbi Chanina, he said, Darkol is Paul Tomen al Achirim Vayanene, Hutzuchu Chaver of Lispala, Velo is Paul Rabbi Chanina al Atzmo, Vibnesha Shot Srikolo, Shisrapi Micholio, Vain Bakoshas Atzmo Moilo, Kivakoshas Achirim Olov, Shein Chovish Mater Atzmo Vesasur. So he says, despite the fact that Rabbi Chanina was on such a high level, he would pray for others and save them miraculously through his prayers. He couldn't pray for himself and save himself. That would not have been effective. Because a prayer on behalf of someone else is even greater than a prayer on behalf of oneself. When I say to the Ribbono Shel Olam, you know, this person is so critical, I can't live without him, that's even more effective than a person's own tefillah. Again, I'm not a bucky in Hilchas Tefillah here. You know, which tefillahs are more effective than which? So you'd have to really study this. But that's the Marsha over here. So there are two chidushim here in our Gemara, or maybe three. One is that even a half a batzal, if you eat half of those olim, that's dangerous enough to kill you. And therefore, Rabbi Chanina should have avoided this at all costs. Second chiddush is that even though he deserved to die, so to speak, because he swallowed poison, but there's some effective tefillah which is called Hadar Tzarechlo, that the nation and the people in that generation need him, Hashah Tzricholo. And that's basically the most powerful tefillah, when we say, God, you know, we can't live without this person. We need him. I mean, and why does God need us to tell him that we need that person whose life is in danger? You know, that's a question about tefillah in general. But somehow, our heartfelt prayers in which we express the feeling that we can't live without this person is, in divine compassion, is effective. And the third chiddush in here, and that's according to Marsha, is that the others who pray on behalf of the chole and they say we can't live without him, those prayers are even more effective than a person who prays on his own behalf. And as I said before, that needs a lot of research. If I remember correctly, Chazal say that Yishmael's prayers were more effective than Hagar, because he prayed on his own behalf, whereas Hagar was praying on his behalf. So I don't know. I'm not sure about that. Okay, now we're going to talk about beer, an Erev of beer. Now, what we're about to embark upon is another one of these Gemaras of analogy, you know, that in I find that, you know, I'm learning Masechta Shabbos, besides Erevin, in Masechta Shabbos, this is going on like every other block, you know, it's another analogy. And I don't know what, somebody should make a calculation, what percentage of Masechta Shabbos is Taros? Because it's constantly an equation to Taros, especially to Masechta Kelim. Here, we're going to have an equation to the laws of Mikvos, and specifically to the laws of what's called Mayim She'uvim. So just the superficial basics here as an introduction, what you have is not a Mayon, but a Mikvah. So that's rainwater that collected in one place. If you have our Arboim Sa, it's kosher for a Mikvah. However, we have something called Mayim She'uvim, Mayim that was collected in a receptacle. If that water is mixed into a mikvah, then under certain circumstances, it might disqualify the mikvah. What's the koveh? What's the determining factor? If you have less than our boim saw, and you pour in mayim she'uvim, And even though now you have more than Arvoim Sov, but since the makeup of the water is A plus B and it has the element of Mayim She'uvim, then it passes the mikvah. If, on the other hand, you already have Arvoim Sov, and then you throw in, you pour in Mayim She'uvim, then it depends. If it is a Shinui Mare, and it changes the color of the mikvah, then it passes the mikvah, even though there was already 40 Sov. If there's no Shinui Mare, and you had 40 saw, then the mikveh remains kosher, and you could pour in as much mayim shuvim as you like. The question is, what's the status of beer? Now, beer has a certain, let's say, majority element of water into it. And in that case, of course, beer is mayim shuvim. You have it in a receptacle. And then you could ask the question as to whether or not it passes the mikveh b'shinui mara, if assuming the mikveh has already 40 saw. And that's going to be the subject of this Mishnah. Now, one last important introduction in Masechta Mikvos is that when we say that mayim she'uvim could pass a mikveh, you need a minimum shear of mayim she'uvim. And that's called shlosha lugim. Three lugim. So three lugim of mayim she'uvim, if there's not yet 40 saw, will passel the mikveh. And that means that even if lots of rainwater would fall, such that the total volume of water that's kosher for mikveh is more than 40 saw, it doesn't matter. The mikveh becomes posel the moment that you have three lugim of mayim she'uvim that fell into the mikveh before it hit 40 saw. What happens later in terms of a massive amount of rainwater that comes into this mikveh, that's totally irrelevant. But if on the other hand you had 40 saw of mei geshamim before you poured in the mayim she'uvim, then it's kosher. And the fascinating thing is that din, that once you have 40 saw, that mayim shuvim does not pass the mikvah, that applies even if he's going to add a massive amount of mayim shuvim. It's a principle called kama batel. I mean, anyway, the bottom line is the mikvah is kosher. However, this only applies to mayim. With regard to other mashkim, other than water, we have another issue, and that is Shini Mara, as I said before. And that means that when, let's say, you had paint that fell into a mikvah. So again, if it would have been Mayim She'uvim, you have already 40 saw, so who cares about the paint? But the paint is going to change the color of the entire mikvah, Lu Yitzur. If it will, then once the Maris HaMikvah has changed as a result of these mashkim that fell in, I gave you an example of pain, then the mikvah becomes posel. So that's Mayim HaMashanim Es Maris HaMikvah. And that psul applies even if you already had 40 saw. So whereas Mayim She'uvim only applies as a posel gimel lugim, if you did not have 40 saw when the shlosha lugim Mayim She'uvim fell in. In the case of Shar Mashke B'Shini Mara, that's going to apply even if you had 40 saw, because Nishtanu HaMayim Mi Mar Isam, you've changed the appearance of the mikvah. Now let's just add again, I keep adding one last introduction. What happens in Shar Mashkim that are not Mishana Mara and you have a mikveh that's less than 40 saw? And the interesting thing is that even Shar Mashkim or Mayim She'uvim, you know, he's got the Mayim collected, not Mayim, he has the Mashke collected in a receptacle. So let's say, for example, if I would convince you that beer is not Mishana Mara, and now it falls into a mikvah from a receptacle, and there's no 40 saw in the mikvah, would it pass the mikvah? And that's going to depend upon how you classify beer. Is beer mayim, just it has a little bit of a beery taste to it, or is it a new entity, a new mashke? So if you have a mashke, which is a mashke through and through, and it falls into a mikvah that's less than arvoim saw, and it's not mishana mara, then you're okay. Why? Because it has the status of a mashke. It doesn't have a status of mayim. In the case of Sheikhar, we don't know what its status is. If it has the status of mayim, and it's not mishana mara, then it would passel b'toras mayim she'uvim, if it has shlosh lugim. But if it's a mashke, and it's not mayim, despite the heavy content of water, then as a shar mashkin, it would not pass the mikvah without shini mara, if it doesn't have shini mara. And all this is going to impact on the status of Sheikhar as far as Erevin is concerned, because as we said over and over again, mayim is not something that could be used for an Erev. Neither melech or mayim, right? Or possibly even the combination thereof. So that's what we want to know. Omar Abzera, Omar Shmuel, Sheikhar ma'arvim bo, uposel es ha-mikvah b'shlosha lugim. So you have three lugim of Sheikhar that fell into a mikvah. The mikvah doesn't have 40 saw. And if you're saying that apostles the mikvah, then you're basically saying that Sheikhar is mayim. Because again, we're not talking about Shini Mara here. And we said that in Shar Mashkim, if there's no Shini Mara, then it does not passel a mikvah, even if the Shar Mashkim fell into a mikvah that's less than 40 saw. So apparently, if he says posel a mikvah b'shlosha lugim, then he is classifying Sheikhar as mayim. Only mayim passels b'toras mayim she'uvim. And yet in the same breath, he says that ma'arvim bo. So again, to use a little bit of brisket terminology, we have here a tzvei dinim. In other words, when you're defining in Hilchas Erevin terms, whether it's mayim and it's posel li'erev, or it's a mashke, we can upgrade sheikhar to the status of a mashke. And hence it is valid as for an erev. That means, you get a beer belly. I mean, lo aleinu, beer is very high in its calorie content, very sugary, right? So it's something that you bring out to your table, and it's a part of Muslim shtei sudos. Hence, it's an erev. Don't in Hilchas Erevin, don't talk to me about whether it's got the status of mayim for mayim shuvim. Passeling a mikvah. Those are halachic categories, and you may come to the conclusion that it's mayim, as Reb Zera seems to imply. But that has nothing to do with mazon shtei sudos for Erevin. Hence, Rabbi Zera establishes tzvei dinim. On the one hand, he says, Sheikhar ma'arvin bo, which means that it's a mashke, it's not mayim. And on the other hand, he says, apostles, the mikvah shloshes lugim. And that can only make sense if you classify beer as mine. Maskif lo Rav Kahana pshita. Rav Kahana thinks that the fact that Sheikhar will passel the mikvah is pshita. In other words, Rav Kahana thought that beer has a different problem. Forget about Mayim She'uvim. Leave out Mayim She'uvim. I couldn't care less. It's Shini Mara. So we'll call it Char Mashkin, but it's possible to make for the Shini Mara. V'chima bein zeh l'meitzeva. So if paint falls into a mikvah, clearly it's not mayim. It would not passel the Torah's gimel lugim mayim she'uvim, but it passels the mikvah midin shinui marid. It's non. Rabbi Yossi Omer meitzeva posum as a mikvah b'shloshes lugim. Ah. So he's saying something else. Not the way I told you that Rav Kahana assumes that Shechar is Mishana Mara, and not that I, like I told you, that Meitzeva is Mishana Mara, and therefore Rav Kahana equates Shechar with Meitzeva. Again, I would have thought that that was a valid approach, but if you look at the Gemara carefully, quoting a Mishnah of Rav Yossi, Rav Yossi says that Meitzeva passes the mikvah, but not b'tor Shini Mara, but rather b'shloshes lugim. Now, Shini Mara has nothing to do with shloshes lugim. Shloshes lugim is a shear in mayim she'uvim. So Meitzeva means that you took paint and you diluted it in water, and although the water may have, you know, some vague, you know, color of the tseva in it, but it's primarily mayim. And the chiddush is that even if there's no shini mara, when he adds this mei tseva, which is itself diluted paint, into the mikvah, nevertheless it's possible if you have shlosha lugim b'toras mayim. Why? Because there's enough mayim in meitzeva, right? There's mei, but we're going to make the mei into the big capital M, you know, mei. It's like really a lot of mayim. And it's basically mayim. Hence, since you're pouring it from a receptacle, and you have shlosha lugim, the meitzeva will passel the mikvah. And Rav Kahana thinks that if meitzeva is considered mayim, then shechar, which has an even, perhaps an even larger element of mayim, or what's the word I want to use, ingredient of mayim, certainly should be considered like mayim. And it's mayim, which is mayim she'uvim, and it passes the mikvah b'shlosha lugim. So then why did Rabbi Zera in the name of Shmuel, why do you have to make a big deal about posos ha-mikvah b'shlosha lugim? Pshita. I mean, if meitzeva passels the mikvah b'shloshes shlugim, even though it has a color of tseva in it, but it's not enough of a profound color, then how much more so is shechar is considered mayim? Although shechar has a slight, it's not exactly, you know, colorless like water, it does have a yellowish color, but nevertheless, it's still is considered within the league of tseva, meaning it's not shini mara, it's still considered the same mara, but it's mayim, which again, as we insisted, has no bearing on erevin. Amri, so the Gemara now introduces a whole new element. Hasam, in the case of etseva, maya, Ditziva Mikri. I'll get back to that in just a second. But Hacha Shikra Ikri. And the Gemara is telling us that there's a Gevaldige Chiddush here in Rav Zera in the name of Shmuel, which we would not derive from the Mishnah of Rav Yossi in Meitzeva. And here we're introducing a concept called Kriyas Shem. You may recall, I mean, if it's just by sheer association, I don't want to equate them, but we once had a machlokas whether, you know, in min b'mino, min v'sheno mino, about whether azlina basa taima, azlina basa shma. You remember that? The shach, I had a lamdash sugya, there's a ramah and a shach. But we already saw there that the status of taroves is very much dependent upon shma, on how you call it. Is it a new species and it has its own name, or it's the old species? and you just add a little descriptive adjective to it. Here also, if you wanted to find something as mayim, as far as psul mikvah is concerned in she'uvim, then it depends on kriyas shem. Does the object, or the liquid, we should say, have the shem mayim to it? If it has a different shem, and we call it by another name, and mayim is not, mandekar shmei is not mentioned here, then it means it's an entity unto itself. It's not mayim. And in the Havamin, at least, before Rav Zera, I would have said that Sheikha, because it has its own name, would not fit into the category of mayim. And then Afkamina would be that if you had three lugim of Sheikhar that fell into a mikvah from a kli, it would not passel the mikvah b'mayim she'uvim. Nor would it passel the mikvah b'toras shini mara, because beer doesn't have that intense of a different color that it would have an impact on the entire mikvah. So in the Havamina we'd say the following. Hasam, in the case of Rabbi Yossi, mei seva mikri. In other words, it has a shame mayim. Mikri. Mikri means the way we call it. And if it has a shame mayim, then it would passel the mikvah bishlosha lugim. But I don't necessarily derive the conclusion that Sheikhar would likewise passel the mikvah bishlosha she'uvim, because shikra ikri. It has a name unto itself and it's called Sheikhar. And therefore it doesn't have a shame mayim. And it would not pass the mikvah b'mayim she'uvim. And it would be like shar mashkim. Remember, we said about shar mashkim that I don't care how much you add, as long as there's no shinui mara, there's no psul of she'uvim. The same thing in the Havamina we would apply to Sheikhar. So therefore, Sheikhar, if it would pass the mikvah at all, it would be b'toras shinui mara, but not b'toras shlosha lugim, because it has its own name, Sheikhar, and it's not mayim. And therefore, Shmuel is being mechadish a big chiddush, and he's saying that what is beer? I mean, again, azlina b'asa taiba, bizan b'asa shma. Again, in shma, it's a new entity. It's a mashke, like shar mashkim. It would not pass over shloshah lugim. But azlina b'asa taiba, so to speak. I'm just using that as a metaphor. That if you ask me, what is beer? Don't look at the name. Look at the content. And the content of beer is mayim. It's mostly mayim. And if we come to the conclusion that Ikar shebebir is mayim, then it would be, as far as mikvah is concerned, it would have the din of mayim, which means it would generate a psul of shlosha lugim of she'uvim. So again, would beer pasul a mikvah? The answer is Shmuel says yes. What was the Havamina? Well, let's go backwards. Let's start with the Maskana. Shmuel says that beer passes a mikvah. Why? Not because of shinui mara. It doesn't have that profound impact on the mikvah that it would change its color. But it passes the mikvah b'toras mayim. The Havamina was mimanafshach, beer would not pass a mikvah. B'toras shinui mara, it doesn't have shinui mara. B'toras mayim, it's not mayim. Why we call it sheikhar? It's not like meitzeva, the case of Rabbi Yossi. That's what we need Shmuel for, to teach me that I don't care about the name beer, the Shema, I care about its content. And its content is Mayim. It's Ikro Mayim. And if it's Ikro Mayim, then it passes a mikvah b'tor shlosha lugim of Mayim Shuv. Now that we've established that Sheikhar is a good drink that fills up the belly, and it would fit under the category of Mazon Shtei Sudos for an Eruv, is Kama Ma'arvin. How much beer, what's the volume, the minimum volume of beer for a kosher Eruv with beer? Sama Rab Acha, Berei de Rav Yosef, Kamei de Rav Yosef Lememar. In other words, the son wanted to suggest to his father, Ma'arvin betrain Rivei Shikra. Reviyei Shikra. Okay. Now, what we have to know here, this goes back to our drawing board, is that a kav is the same as four lugin, which means that a half a kav is two lugin. And basically, the shear of Shechar in this Hava Mina, meaning in what Rav Chama presented to his father Rav Yosef, is a chatzi kav. A chatzi kav is two lugim. Just one second. Did I get this right? One second. Let me just go over this one more time. Sorry. Right. He calls it two quarters of a kav, which is the same as a half of a kav. And we, as we discussed in the past, sometimes they split it in half because they want to get for each suda. So you need a quarter of a kav of beer for each suda. Multiplying two quarters of a kav, you get a half a kav. And a half a kav is equal to two lugim, because a kav is equal to four lugim. So he's got two lugim. Now keep in mind, for a moment, that yayin, the shear of yayin, is a revius of a lug, one quarter of a lug. You've now, in the transition from wine to beer, you've multiplied it by four. So instead of a revius lug of yayin in the case of Shechar, we need a half a kav, which is two lugim, which is four times a quarter of a, right? Did I get the numbers right again? In the case of yayin, we said it's what? It's a revius of a, right, and we're multiplying by four. A revius of a lug by four gives you one lug. But now we're saying that we need two lugim. So we're multiplying by eight. Wow, that's amazing. The ratio between the shear of Erev for Yayin and the shear of Erev for Shechar is 1 to 8, I think. Let me just work this out one more time. We're saying that two revie kav for Shechar is equal to, which is a half a kav, is equal to two lugim. And Yayin was saying we need a revius of lug. So a quarter of a lug goes into two lugim eight times. Yes? No? Maybe? Again, it's not high mathematics, but I think I got it right. But I've really oversimplified. I'll tell you why. Because it's really not a revius lug in the case of yayin. What do I mean? I'll give you an example, just as an introduction. We had a chapter in Shabbos which deals with the shiurim from Aleches Hotzah. What's the minimum amount that you carried out into Sarabim from Aleches Hotzah? And we said that in Yayin, it's a revius Yayin. But it's much more complicated than that. Why? Because what is Yayin? Yayin is either A, concentrated yayin, or B, diluted yayin. So when the Gemara says, in Perek HaMatzni, I think it is, that the minimum shear is of Hotzah and yayin is revius yayin, the Gemara has in mind concentrated yayin. Now, concentrated yayin is not drinkable. And it would not be kosher for an Erev. And you have to dilute the water, I'm sorry, dilute the wine, the yayin chai, what we call, by a ratio of 3 to 1. Which means that if you have a quarter of a lug of concentrated wine, you're going to end up with a full lug of diluted wine. Now, if you multiply that by 2, and assuming that you need a revius for each seuda, then what you end up with is 2 lugim of diluted wine, which is exactly the same shear as shechar. So what I'm pointing out is that this havamin in the Gemara, attributed to Rav Acha, is not so far from the mark. He's not making a radical change from what we already know with regard to yayin, meaning his standards for shechar are identical with the requirements for yayin, which is 2 lugim. Because yayin is going to require a lug plus another lug. It's a revius yayin of concentrated wine, to which you add 3/4 of a lug of mayim to dilute it, until you end up with wine that is made up of a full lug. As far as Meleches Hotzah is concerned, the shear of Hotzah, like let's say I was invited, you know, to your, I'll give you an example. Let's say I work in the kitchen of the Ramada Hotel, right? So, you know, in the kitchen we're going to prepare yayin for the guests that are coming to eat in the hotel. So I'm going to carry out of my house a revius yayin. Is that revius yayin what I'm going to serve to my guests? No way, no how. No one's going to be able to drink that wine. What I'm going to do is I'm going to get to the kitchen in the Ramada Hotel, and I'm going to dilute the water by 3 to 1, and I'm going to end up with a lug of yayin. So it's worth it for me to carry a revius lug of yayin from one reshus to the other, because that's basically all I need to create a lug of yayin. But the real drinkable wine, in this case, is going to be a lug. But I'm chayef otzah on a revius lug. Now, in Erevin, revius is not going to do the trick. I have to multiply that revius by 4, meaning to get another 3 parts of water, and dilute the wine, so that I now have a shear of a full lug. Give me a lug of yayin for one meal. Give me a lug of yayin for another meal, and I'm absolutely thrilled. So that's mazon shtei sudos. So what you have at the end of the day is 2 lugim of yayin. And if that be the case, that's exactly the shear of shechar. Why? Because he says trei rivei shikra, which means 2/4 of a kav. A kav is made up of 4 lugim. 2/4 is a half. And a half of 4 lugim is 2 lugim, which is exactly the same shear that we said by yayin. Now let's see if I can defend my position here based on the next line in the Gemara. The Gemara says Kiddusnan. So we have that Mishnah in Masechta Shabbos. Oh, is it Perek HaMatzniah? I'm just curious. I'm just curious to know if this is where does Klal Gadol end on Ayin Zayin? All right. I don't have it in front of me. Anyway, I think it's in Klal Gadol. Anyway, the Mishnah says that amotzi yayin. So you're talking about concentrated wine. And how much of a shear do you need to be chayef otzah kidei mezigas hakos? Enough that if you dilute this wine, you'll have perfect wine for drinking. Which means a revius of a lug of concentrated wine, to which I add 3 revios of mayim, I dilute it, and I have a full lug's worth of yayin. But as far as Meleches Hotzah is concerned, all I need is the concentrated wine, which is called Kedei Mezigas HaKos. enough that if I add mezigo, means dilution, I end up with a full look. V'tani Allah, we have a brisa that embellishes that Mishnah and asks, what do you mean, kidei mezigas kos? What's mezigas kos? And he says, kidei mezigas kos yofa. Okay, what's a kos yofa? My kos yofa, koshel bracha. Right, so that's a kos on which we recite Birkas HaMazon or Bris Milo or Sheva Brachas. And Omar Av Nachman, Omar Rabba Bar Avua, Koshel Bracha, Tzorech Sheyia Bo Rova Revius, Kedeshim Zegenu V'yamin Al Revius. The exact opposite of what I told you. We need kidei mezigas kos yofer, which means that after I dilute it, I end up with a revius look. And now we begin to see the discrepancy, the broad difference between sheikhar and yayin. In sheikhar, we were suggesting that the shear is a chatzi kav, which is shnei lugim. And now in yayin, we need only a revius of a lug. We need a revius of a revius, that's 1 over 16 of Yayin Chai, and when you add 3 times that volume, you're going to end up with a quarter of a lug of Mayim Mazut. So the shear of, what should we call it, of a Kos Yofa, Koshel Bracha, is going to be a revius Yayin. 1/4 of a lug. Not what Berzon was telling you, that it's a full lug, but rather it's a quarter of a lug. Ukidu Rava, di Omar Rava kol chamra de lo dori be, de lo dori ad chad tlus amayim. Dori means to dilute it. If you don't dilute it 1 to 3, right, that's chad to tlus. Lav chamrahu, it's not wine. Why? Because you can't drink it. It's so concentrated. So you see that the sheer meziga is 3 chalok into 1 chelek. So a koshel bracha now ends up with a shear of a revius lug. So you need 1/4 of a revius, which is 1 over 16th of a lug, in order to get mayim chai. Of mayim chai. And after the meziga, you add 3 to 1. That's going to give you a revius. And that's going to be the shear for Hotzah Shabbos. It's going to be a reva revius, right? Because as this point I hit the nail on, and that is all you need is the hotzah of the concentrated wine, from which you could produce by adding water wine that's drinkable. So you have a reva revius, which is 1/16 of a lug, and you chayf hotzah on that. You can add another three parts to jack it up to a revius of a lug, and then it becomes a kos shel bracha. Uktani seifa, and in the seifa that indicates all the mashkim, it says shar kol mashkim birevius. It means that only in yayin is 1/16 of a lug enough to be chayef hotzah. In other mashkim, you need 4 times that volume, which is 1/4 of a lug, a revius, because it's already mixed. And also kol ha-shofchin. Let's say you have mayim sruchim, mayim that wastewater, and there also is going to be a shear of revius. Umida hasam al chad arba hochanami al chad arba. In other words, let's make an analogy between yayin and sheikhar. In yayin, you have the distinction between the concentrated wine and the fully diluted drinkable wine. At the end of the day, you end up for a koshel bracha. A full kos of yayin would be a revius yayin. And in shar mashkim, as far as meleches hotzah, it's a revius lug of hotzah. Let's apply that to sheikhar as far as the din of erev is concerned. It's hochinami al chad arba. So legabe erev also, it should be the same shear of 4 times the concentrated wine, and that should come out to a reverse of a look. And you can multiply that by two if you like, and you'll end up with a half a lug, but certainly not two lugim. You can end up with a half a lug, but not two lugim. So I'll just read another line, and then I'll let you go. He says, V'loi, hasam hu, there in the case of hotza de batza v'yachi lo chashivi, aval hacha, lo avdi inish de shasu kasa v'tzafra v'kasa v'fanya, v'samche iloye. So let's go over this Gemara with the beer. So let's go back to Mita Hasam. Archad Arba, he writes the following. Kishem shel gabi shir hotsa b'shavis shir hashechar gadol pi arba mishir shel ayayin. But because we took into consideration that distinction between concentrated wine and diluted wine, the contrast in the Mishnah between Yayin and Shechar was justified as a ratio of 1 to 4. So the Shir Yayin is 1/16 of a lug, and we're going to multiply that by 4 in order to get a full diluted wine. In the case of Shar Mashkim, we're going to multiply it by 4 to get the Mashkes. So then Shar Mashkim, including Shechar, would be now a Revias Halug. Right? So before we had 1/16, now we have 1/4 of a lug. So we see clearly that Shabbos has set the pattern here and the ratio of Shar Mashkim to Yayin as being 4 to 1. So in other words, when you start with the number 1 in the case of Yayin for Hotzah, which means concentrated wine at 1/16, you start with the number 4 times that 1, whatever that 1 is, in order to get the shear for Shar Mashkim, including Shechar. So Chinami Adchar Arba. Now let's apply that same ratio, the same yardstick to Erevin, as we did in Shabbos, and therefore the shear of Shechar, argues Rav Acha, would be Pi Arba from the 4 times the shear of Yayin. Now, we had a Gemara on Daf Chav Tesam and Aleph in the name of Rav. It said that Shi'uro, as far as Yayin is concerned, the shear for an Eruv is Shtei Revios Haluk. Right, so you have a Revios Lug, and you multiply it by 2 to get Mazon Shtei Sudos, and you end up with 2 Revios Haluk, which means half a Lug. Now, we're going to have to multiply that by 4 to get the parallel in Shar Mashkim, or in the case of Shechar. And if we multiply a half a Lug by 4, we end up with Shnei Lugim. Hence, we understand why Rav Acha set the shear for Erev in the case of Shechar as 2 lugim. And Velohi. And the Gemara rejects the logic of Rav Acha. And although in Hotzah Shabbos we do have a ratio of 4 to 1, that ratio does not have any bearing in the case of Erev. Because Hasam, when we talk about Hotzah and Shabbos, and we're not going to be mechayev in Fotzah Shechar unless he has the shear of a revius. In other words, Yayin is the chiyuv is for a reva revius, and in Shechar, as representative of Shar Mashkim, to be a revius. And the reason for that you're not chayev Fotzah unless in a revius of Shar Mashkim is b'tzim yoch lo choshiv. Less than a revius is not considered choshiv to be mechayev Fotzah al hocha. But when we get to the issue of Eruv, it doesn't depend upon Chashivus, but rather depends upon the shear of Mazon Shtei Sudos. So we don't need such a shear of 4 times the shear of Yayin. We don't have to multiply it by 4. We have to multiply it by 4 in Hotzah in order to get Chashivus in Shar Mashkim. But Shar Mashkim, in its comparison to Yayin with regard to Eruv, is Davidi Inshi Deshasu Kasa B'tzafra v'kosa b'fanyo v'tzamchi alayu. It's very common for a person to drink cup of beer in the morning and a cup of beer in the evening. And when he drinks a cup of beer in the morning, it's going to be a shear of revius. Besudas Boker, Vikol Sheni Beshir Zeh Besudas Erev. So he'll drink a revius of a lug of Shechar in the morning and another revius of a lug in the evening. And that's enough. So he doesn't need a shear of chatzi kav of shnei lugim. All he needs is twice a revius, and that should be enough for the shear of eruv. And it's exactly the same as the shear of eruv of yayin. So we're equating yayin and shechar, and it's all a revius times two. Of course, for two sudos is two revius. Okay, then. So we're going to stop here on Daf Chav Tes Amid Beis. And we're going to talk to Mirz Shem tomorrow about Tmarim, which is approximately, shall we say, halfway through the Amud.